Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, August the 17th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. On the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA AM 1240 in Globe, and our friends in Douglas and Cochise County are listening on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. Plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. This is a live radio show Monday through Friday from noon to 1. The lineup for today's show is another good one. We'll start off with newsmaker interview with Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett. At 20 minutes or so past the hour, world-renowned comet discoverer David Levy will join us. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on astronomy. Then at the bottom of the hour, Pima County Democratic Party Chair Jeff Rogers will be here. He finds himself in the center of a controversy swirling around the Ward 1 Democrat City Council primary. We'll find out what that is all about. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And as always, we encourage you to give us your story ideas. If there's a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, please contact us about that. Let's begin now with the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett has begun carrying around poster-sized historical photos of World War II battleships to pitch his fundraising plans to import guns from the USS Missouri and USS Arizona to the state capitol. Secretary of State Bennett joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix. Secretary of State Bennett, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. Is it safe to say you are a big-time World War II history buff?
I guess it would be fair to say that. I can remember even in middle school doing some of my term paper research projects, and for some reason choosing to do them on the Pacific theater of World War II. So I guess I've been at least fascinated in some degree or another on World War II since I was a young boy.
And I would echo that. I share similar views and have always been fascinated, and usually I'm interested in World War II and especially the Pacific Theater. And I mentioned the USS Arizona, of course, all the history there, and then the USS Missouri, where I believe it was General MacArthur signing the peace treaty on the deck of the Missouri, correct?
It was, and that was in Tokyo Harbor. I had the unique and ironic experience of getting to live in Japan for a couple years as a late teenager, 19, 20, 21 years old. I ended up living in Japan, so it was kind of an interesting dichotomy to have been such a World War II history buff and then end up living over there for a couple years amongst the Japanese. And I was a missionary for our church and ended up learning to love and appreciate their culture, but at the same time, I had this, you know, this perspective from being a youth and studying the war from the American perspective as well. So,
Secretary of State Bennett is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and now tell us about what you would like to do, this fundraising plan.
Well, through a former colleague who used to work at the State House of Representatives when I was a state senator, we have come to be aware of the fact that there's one gun barrel from the USS Arizona still remaining in the possession of the U.S. Navy. It's back in at the Dahlgren storage facility, which I believe is in Northern Virginia, and there's one remaining gun barrel that so that we're clear for your listeners, this was not on the Arizona when it was sunk at Pearl Harbor. It had been removed from the ship, as they normally were, just before Pearl Harbor, and it was sent back east to be relined. And then when the ship was sunk, of course, they didn't put it back on. But we found out several months ago about the existence of this last remaining gun barrel from the Arizona. So I contacted the Navy to see if they would permanently loan it to the state, and we would clean it up and put it out in the Capitol Mall area next to the state capitol. It's sitting and has been for 60-plus years in a grass field at this storage facility, rusting. And so when I asked them if they would allow us to have it, make it part of our Capitol Museum, at first they were not receptive and said, oh, it's our last one. I'm not sure we would like to let it go, but would you like one of the Missouri barrels? We have 7 or 8 of those. And after thinking of it for a while, I called them back and I said, well, we appreciate your kind offer, but this is Arizona. And then the thought occurred to me that, you know, you had this kind of bookends of the war represented by the two battleships, the Arizona, which was the flagship at the beginning of the war, the Missouri was the flagship at the end, the surrender signed in Tokyo Bay. And now the two ships are even moored. You know, you have the USS Memorial there in Pearl Harbor, and the Missouri is now permanently moored as a museum immediately adjacent to the Arizona. So they're back kind of together as the bookend. So I said to the Navy, we'd like one of each. And it was quite fascinating. The guy said, ooh, you're thinking big now. I kind of like that idea. I think we can get behind that. So typical federal government, if you ask for one thing, the answer is no. If you ask for two of them, the answer is yes. If I'd asked for 5 or 6, we'd have had them 3 weeks ago. But
well, this sounds like a very intriguing plan. It sounds it makes sense to me. I think it would be terrific to have both a gun from the Missouri and the Arizona at the state capitol. So how do we make this happen?
Well, we make it happen. We have put in an application that's been approved for us to get one of each gun barrels, and now it's just the logistics of getting those barrels loaded onto either truck or railroad cars and brought out to Arizona and then offloaded and sanded down and refurbished and mounted eventually on, you know, permanent foundations. And the plan is to put one of the barrels on one side of two objects that we already have at the state capitol related to the USS Arizona. We have one of the anchors, and we have the masthead on display there in the Wesley Boland Plaza, just east of the capitol. And we'll put one gun on one side, one gun on the other side, and we're trying to get this all done by this December 7th of this year, which is the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. When I spoke at that event last year, we had 4 still living sailors from the USS Arizona that attended in person. But they are leaving us, you know, quickly. About 1,000 World War II vets die each day in the United States somewhere. So before we lose them all, we want to turn the anchor and the masthead into a nice little World War II memorial with the guns from the Arizona and the Missouri.
I think it's a great idea, and this will not cost the taxpayers any money.
We will not use any taxpayer dollars. We're going to do it all with private contributions. We are already, we have a website that's up and going. It's Guns to Salute the Fallen, all in letters, GunsToSaluteTheFallen.com. We hope to actually have where people can pay with a credit card and make donations, but we're going to use all private contributions. We'll use no tax dollars, but we're also being contacted by companies that are being very generous to provide in-kind services. Marco Crane Company up in Phoenix, long-standing crane company, has agreed to do all of the crane work at this end for free. But the expenses could be pretty significant. We think it's going to be somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000. But we already have companies stepping up to keep that as low as possible. But we're told that there are about 600,000 veterans or retired veterans in Arizona alone. And if just 1/6 of them, if 100,000 each gave $5, then we'd have the $500,000.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Coming up now on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. And again, that website is guns2salutethefallen.com. That is correct, Secretary of State Bennett?
That's it, Bill. Thank you.
And also this, I want to move on real quickly. I've only got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you about the abolishing party primaries. This group has started this ballot drive called, this group called Arizona Open Government Coalition, launching a ballot measure to abolish party primaries in Arizona. What are some of your personal thoughts about this?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned because there's been a lot of things that have even included the voters voting on things to try to improve our election processes in Arizona, and sometimes after 5 or 10 years of trying something, it seems like a lot of people feel like they were trying to do one thing and it kind of backfired and created almost the exact opposite. There's a lot of the voters will also be asked next November, because of a bill that the legislature passed, whether or not they want to get rid of the Clean Elections program, which was so popular there for a while. But after, so this particular one that you're talking about would eliminate the party primaries and basically say that we would have a primary day, but everybody would be voting for everyone in kind of like an open primary, and the top two, and it might be two Democrats or it might be two Republicans or two Independents or whatever, but the top two, regardless of what their party affiliation is, would then move to the general election a couple of months later, as we already do. And the goals stated by the coalition is that they think that this will produce a more moderate group of, elected officials. But I'm not sure. I think we need to be very careful, because in districts that are dominated by one party or the other already, under the current plan, if a district already leans Republican, you still for sure get a Democrat that gets on the ballot for the general. If we go to kind of the top two win no matter what, then those districts that are heavily dominated by one party or the other will probably only have two from that same party moving forward into the general. I don't know if that will accomplish what they want or not, but that's what they're trying to do.
But so you, it sounds like you have some serious questions about abolishing the party primaries.
I do. I think right now, where we allow independents to vote in the primaries and independents to actually be able to get on the general ballot, and I think it's actually, we have to be very careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, think that we're going to end up with something better, and then it backfires and actually creates a situation that's worse.
There would still be, of course, the presidential preferential primary, which right now is scheduled for February, but may be moved up.
That's right. This would only affect the state and legislative offices. Would not affect the presidential election process, which, of course, occurs very significantly within the parties. But would just basically be at the statewide officials and the legislative level.
Okay, Secretary of State Ken Bennett, thank you very much. And I like your idea about bringing the big gun, at least a big gun from the Missouri and a big gun from Arizona to Arizona. And I think it's a great idea. Guns2salutethefallen.com for more information. Secretary of State Bennett, have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Bill. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. 12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. Renowned comet discoverer David Levy. He's always fun. He's got a lot to say. He's next.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 1222 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. If there's a full moon, it's time for David Levy. Dr. David Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade magazine. He now heads up and is the founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, and he is right now searching for that 24th comet is an effort to make the an even 24. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm feeling so good. I may just burst out of the sun, although I don't think your listeners would want to hear it.
And of course, I mentioned that when there's a full moon, we bring David in because when there isn't a full moon, David is up all night observing, and he's probably still asleep during the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, although the new time is a little easier for me.
Oh, good. You're back from the 8th annual Adirondack Astronomy Retreat in upstate New York. How did this year's go, David?
This was by far the most successful one we had. Out in the Adirondacks, we had desert-like conditions virtually. We had 6 out of 7 nights were clear. We had just a wonderful time, and the telescopes were in full use, and it was a very inspiring few days. And we're just trying to get our lives back together, having returned to our home
and
in Arizona.
One of the things that you love this camp, it really gives a chance for some of the beginning astronomers to get their feet wet, correct, David?
Yes, it is. It's a chance for people that have had no experience at all to see how the more experienced observers do it, Everybody is willing to help everybody else. This is one of the most exciting parts about it. We don't have thousands of people there. In fact, the site limits us to about 35 people per session, and we have two sessions during each season. So we're really excited about it. Next year, we're going to try the Dark of the Moon period in July, which tends to be a little wetter than August, but we'll take a chance to see what happens.
David, one of the items on my show prep for you today was talking about NASA's future, and there's an interesting piece, and I don't know if you have seen it yet, so I'll kind of throw you a curve here. It's in the Wall Street Journal today saying that private spacecraft will begin docking with the International Space Station before the end of the year. This is months sooner than planned after NASA gave the green light for the first cargo delivery by such a capsule. These are like little private space taxis, and I guess this, David, marks a transition for the U.S. manned exploration program, which previously relied entirely on government-funded and federally operated craft to take both astronauts and cargo into space. So there is this move now to privatization, isn't there?
I'm amazed to hear that. I can't wait to see that article. If after we get off the air, you could send me a link to it, I would love to read it, because this is interesting, and this is a very encouraging development that we're actually going to be sending private vehicles to the space station sooner than expected. And I would really like to see that. I know so would NASA, but NASA needs to be sure that the safety factors are there. We want it to be nice, smooth docking and without any problems, and I'm sure that the private companies are capable and fully capable of doing that. It's a very exciting thing to do. You know what I like, Bill, about the space program, why I'm such a fan of NASA?
No, why are you such a fan of NASA?
It's because NASA reflects the words of Senator Carl Schurz, whom I'm sure most of NASA people have never heard of. He was a senator who was active just before the Civil War. And while giving a lecture in Faneuil Hall in Boston, he was probably a campaign stop for the election of 1860, he said these words that are so exciting that they still ring true. Ideals are like stars. You will not succeed in touching them with your hands. But like the seafaring man on the desert of waters, you choose them as your guides. And following them, you will reach your destiny. This is the prescription for living and the prescription for being the explorers that we Americans are. We don't just want to balance the budget. We also want to look out and see the unknown and see it, which exists right on top of our heads every night. But more than that, we want to go there. We want to go to the moon, which we've done. We want to go to an asteroid, study it before it collides with the Earth. And we might even want to go to Mars in the future. This is what our country is all about. We are a nation of explorers. We deserve more than just bad news every day.
There you go. I agree with that. David Levy is with us. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on astronomy. David, we're going to have to wrap it up here very soon, but what about the summer meteor showers? How were they this year?
They weren't too bad considering the full moon. About two nights ago, I was out observing on the night of the full moon, and despite that, I was able to get three, possibly four meteors. And three were Perseids, which are the meteors that come from Comet Swift-Tuttle. The fourth one was a late Delta Aquarid meteor, but it was still exciting to see. I have to tell you that meteors, despite all the comet hunting that I do, are my favorite form of observing. I just love watching for meteors.
And I know you're delighted that Dr. Mark Sykes, who heads up Planetary Science Institute, has joined Team Buckmaster. He will be our contributor on space exploration, so we're delighted to have Dr. Sykes.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We're going to be getting together in a few days up at Kitt Peak National Observatory, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to continuing my collaboration with him. I applaud you getting him. I think he's going to be a very valuable contributor to the show in space matters just as I hope to continue to be in astronomy.
Well, you will be. David Levy, always a pleasure. My regards to your lovely lovely wife, Wendy. Have a great afternoon.
Wendy says hi.
Say hello to Beagle, too, while you're at it.
I will. I'll say hello to the Beagle.
David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk politics next with Jeff Rogers as we continue on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police in Tampa, Florida say the 17-year-old accused of plotting to set off a bomb at his former high school had prepared a minute-by-minute plan along with schematic drawings of rooms inside the school. President Obama says it will likely be another year to 18 months before home prices start rising again and sales start picking up. Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry says he doesn't believe in man-made global warming. He's campaigning today in New Hampshire. Students back in school today in Joplin, Missouri, for the first time since a May tornado killed 160 people and destroyed thousands of buildings, including the city's only public high school. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 6 points, the Nasdaq off 15, the S&P currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:34, the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. On the home of the Buckmaster Show, it's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're delighted to be here. We love the reach of this station. We're heard with our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe, so we've got Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions for Jeff Rogers, the Pima County Democratic Chair, who is with me now. A Democrat running against Tucson City Council incumbent Rahina Romero in the Ward 1 Democrat primary is demanding that Mr. Rogers resign. Joe Flores says Jeff Rogers should step down because the party should not, in the opinion of Mr. Flores, take sides in his race. Joining us in studio is Jeff Rogers. Jeff, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
What do you think of this, what Mr. Flores is saying?
Well, it's highly unlikely that I'm going to do that. I say it's outright impossible. The fact of the matter is that our executive committee voted with a vote, unanimous vote, with one person who held out and didn't vote against it but wanted to postpone the vote for a few weeks until the filing deadline. So it was really a unanimous vote of confidence in Rahina Romero and the job that she's done. And it was also a unanimous, basically, condemnation of Joe Flores for not really being a bona fide Democrat.
Yeah, I hear that from Democrats, many Democrats, saying that he's not really a Democrat. When folks are saying that, what are they saying?
Well, he doesn't stand for the kind of values that our local Democratic Party does. And one great indication is the fact that he ran a payday loan establishment until it was outlawed by the voters. And as you'll remember, that was something like a 65-35 split of the voters in Arizona who voted to outlaw payday loan lending and loans of 400% interest rates. So his backup plan now is doing auto title loans, which are at only about 200% interest rates. And besides that, there are lots of other problems that Democrats have had with him. For instance, my friend Vince Robigo was gathering signatures at the fairgrounds in 2010 for all of the Democratic candidates, and Mr. Flores approached and said he didn't believe in any of those Democratic candidates, and then went over to the Republican table and promptly struck up a chatty conversation with the Republicans. We just don't believe he's somebody who has stands for the values that we care about, nor is he somebody who's ever been a participant in Pima County Democratic Party politics.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a question for Mr. Rogers, Jeff Rogers. Democrats have been funding now this independent political committee to defeat Mr. Flores. This is unusual, is it not, Jeff, in that Democrats funding an independent committee in a Democratic primary?
Well, typically in elections, we budget $50,000 to $100,000 per election cycle in a city election for what we call our get-out-the-vote effort to help our candidates win. Well, in Rahina's case, we can't really do that in the fall election because she won't have an opponent. Her only real opponent is in this primary. So given the fact that we endorsed her unanimously and given the fact that of what a fine job she's done and what an outstanding councilperson she's been, we felt that the best way to do the get-out-the-vote effort to help her was to spend that money in the primary, particularly given her opponent.
The committee, Tucsonans for Democratic Leadership, spent nearly $1,700 on radio ads, around $1,200 on phone services, and about $5,000 for a series of high-profile billboards in Ward 1. The billboards ask voters if they trust, quote, Payday Joe, unquote, to represent them.
That's what they do. And when you fund an independent committee, you don't get to decide what the independent committee does. I think the billboards and the mailers that I've seen that have gone out have been very good, but we don't design them. We don't control them because it has to be a true independent committee with no coordination between us and them, nor between Rahina Romero's actual campaign and the independent committee.
Why not just stay on the sidelines and let it play out? Most observers would say that Rahina doesn't appear to be in real great trouble in this race.
Well, I think that there's an argument to be made that that's true now, but it didn't appear to be true a month or two ago when we started this process. We don't take any candidates lightly, and we didn't take Mr. Flores lightly. As it turns out, he's turned out to be, I think, a less serious candidate than we had thought he would be. But we didn't know that when we started out this election cycle. And we weren't going to take the chance of losing such an extraordinary council person as Raheena Romero.
"This is not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood." That's a quote Mr. Flores said in a press conference. He said, "Stay out of the Ward 1 Democratic primary. Instead of tearing down the Democratic Party, tear down those billboards."
Well, I don't think we're going to be tearing down any billboards anytime soon. This election is already playing out right now. Within a few more days, it might even be over with. A lot of ballots are returned very early after they were mailed out last week.
Are you disturbed also that Mr. Flores really hasn't been appearing and speaking at a lot of these events?
No, his campaign manager doesn't let him talk most of the time. Mr. Flores is, and as could be expected from a first-time candidate, he's sort of not ready for prime time, and we can see why they don't let him talk very often. But, it is what it is, and this will be over with within a couple of weeks.
Let's talk a little bit about the mayoral race. Mr. Rothschild released a 180-day plan for his first 100 days in office if he is elected the mayor. What did you think of the plan?
I thought it was pretty good. I'm really happy to see such specifics laid out there. As Jonathan will tell you, many of these things are things that prior councils have worked on or are in progress that he would like to see come to fruition. Many of the others are new ideas. I think it lays out a distinct plan of a direction that he would take the city in, and I really truly think that Jonathan Rothschild has a chance to become perhaps one of the greatest mayors the city of Tucson has ever had.
Some of the reporters were knocking the plan, saying there are a lot of meetings. Too many meetings, perhaps.
Well, this is a mayor who's going to work hard and be visible and meet with everybody as often as possible. I mean, he's not retired. This is not going to be a ribbon-cutting job for Jonathan Rothschild. This is going to be somebody who's going to take the problems of this city seriously, and he's going to take everybody's opinion seriously and try to include everybody in the process of making this a stronger city.
It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have any questions for Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, give us a call at 790-2040. The Arizona, as you heard our interview with Ken Bennett, Secretary of State, at the beginning of the show, there is a group that wants to abolish party primaries in the state of Arizona. This group is called Arizona Open Government Coalition. It wants to replace the party primaries with a single primary system that would be open to all voters. The two candidates with the most votes would advance to the general election regardless of the party affiliation. And as you heard, Ken Bennett, Secretary of State, who is a Republican, said that he has some serious questions about abolishing party primaries. From a Democratic point of view, do you agree in many ways with what Mr. Bennett was saying?
I do. I think what he was describing is what I call the law of unintended consequences. And we see a lot of things that we think are going to work one way, and they don't turn out to work that way. And for example, we call these, they've often been called jungle primaries, and California and the state of Washington have adopted them, and they haven't had a full election cycle yet with them. So I think we should basically wait it out, see a few election cycles go by the way in those two states, and see how it works out. The very first test of it was this in this last spring, when there was a race to replace Janice Harmon, who was, I think, the head of the Democrats' highest ranking defense congressperson. And when she resigned, there was just a bevy of people who ran for her congressional seat in California. And instead of bringing the most two moderate people to the finish line, I think what you saw was she's probably the most liberal, and she was got the most votes and ended up and won the seat. But who finished second, because so many Republicans ran, was the most conservative Tea Party candidate, who actually labeled himself a Tea Party candidate, not even even a Republican candidate. So we saw that go completely awry in what we've seen as the first dry run of the system. So I think we ought to just sit back, watch it unfold for a few years in California and Washington, and then perhaps decide if it's the right thing. Like many people, when I first heard it, I thought, well, it could be a moderating influence. Maybe you end up with a more moderate candidate from the left and from the right, and we don't end up with such a divisive political atmosphere as we see here now. But I'm just not sure that's going to be what works out.
Carolyn Allen, who is a former Republican state senator from Scottsdale, said creating a single primary in which all candidates and all voters can participate will attract more voters, especially Arizona's growing segment of independents.
Well, and there's another problem with it, and that is, let's say you have six or eight candidates in a Republican or a Democrat-leaning district, but the Democrats or Republicans are, in whichever way it leans, are disciplined enough to perhaps only run a couple candidates, and the other party runs four or five. You may end up with two Republicans or two Democrats and really no other alternative in that legislative district. So that's another way it could actually fail as well.
Got a lot more to talk with Jeff Rogers about. We'll talk with him about redistricting. We had Representative Terry Proud on the program earlier this week. She was very, very upset with the process that is going on with redistricting. We'll talk with Jeff Rogers about that. It's 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to join in and talk with Mr. Rogers, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll be back after we hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs.
sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Some maps look nice.
1249 on the Buckmaster Show. Jeff Rogers is with us. He's the Pima County Democratic Chairman. Let's talk about redistricting. What are you hearing about when we will see some maps for redistricting?
Well, their first requirement was to put out these grid maps, which are really kind of meaningless, and those came out last week, and they're just sort of a statistical manipulation to set up identically sized by way of population districts that are contiguous, and it takes into account none of the Department of Justice requirements. So that step's done and out of the way, and I'm hearing that we're going to see some competing maps within the next 2 weeks that we can start to work from and get some idea of where people might end up.
State Representative Terry Proud was here on the Buckmaster Show on Monday. She's just furious about the process, the redistricting process. And what do you think? Has it been a fair process?
I think it's been an extremely fair process. My experience with Ms. Proud is that she's kind of an extremely furious person, period, and that if it wasn't this, it would be something else she's making a big fuss over. She's not one of our more level-headed legislators. But I think the process has gone very smoothly, aside from the sort of Tea Party people showing up at the meetings and you know, sort of throwing little temper tantrums or reading their talking points that have been given to them over the internet. But I think it's gone very smoothly, and I think we're going to be proud of this process once it's done.
She thinks that perhaps the process should just be back the way it was, with lawmakers making the decisions.
Well, this is actually the trend. California has an independent redistricting commission. It's a lot larger. Instead of five people, I think it has something like 20-some people. They just finished redistricting California. The other states that have this kind of setup are turning out to be much more fairly drawn. I mean, you know, this gerrymandering that goes on when one side or the other controls the houses and the governor's office and the legislature, it's just not fair, and it doesn't make for a very good legislature.
The maps, what will they, will there be some major changes to the, there are 30 legislative districts we're talking. Now, this is just the state districts. We're not talking about congressional.
Right. And I think you're going to see some major changes because there were some major population growths. Like our legislative district 30 is way too big to be a legislative district now. It has to give up some population. A lot of areas around Pinal grew enormously, and there was a lot of growth in the far east and the far west valley in the Phoenix area. So I think we're going to see a little less influence and number of total districts in southern Arizona, despite whether they're Republican or Democrat. I think we'll just see less of them down here.
The congressional districts, I've seen some preliminary maps on the web about some of these congressional districts. There could be some really major changes for congressional CD 7 and 8.
I think you could see some of that. I'd be surprised to see a major change for either of those districts. The one thing that kind of throws a little monkey wrench in this is we have to add a ninth congressional seat. So that has to come from somewhere. But basically,
a ninth district for Arizona.
For Arizona, because we only had eight before, and our population increase entitled us to one more. I think what you'll see is District 8 and 9 will be very similar, but that they will have to lose some population. And you'll see some trimming around the edges, but my best guess is that we're not going to see a radical change for either of those districts.
Okay, I believe we have Keith ready to go on the Buckmaster Show. Keith, go ahead. You're with Jeff Rogers.
Hello, how are you?
Doing
hey,
fine.
I'm wondering, what is your position on the missing $230 million from Rio Nuevo, and who do you think should be held responsible for that?
Well, I think we need to go back to Kathleen Dunbar and Fred Ronstadt and ask them some serious questions about some of the crazy projects they voted for. Most of those projects that on which the money was wasted, and by the way, many people don't think it's nearly $230 million. They think there's about $150 million that's in the ground in infrastructure that we can rely upon. So the number that people are touting of $230 million is wildly out of line with what reality reality is, but there was a lot of money wasted, a huge amount of money wasted, and some heads rolled. The city manager lost his job over it. Other heads have rolled too, although they haven't been quite as big as the city manager's whose head rolled in that process. But I'm all for looking at as closely at this as we can. I welcome any investigation that Tom Horner, the FBI, is doing. The more we can learn about what went wrong, the more we can know where to place the blame for that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff Rogers. There is a lot of there are tens of millions of dollars of infrastructure work that really had to be done in downtown Tucson that was done.
And that infrastructure work has led to enormous amounts of private investment within the last 12 months, and it's going to lead to huge amounts of further investment into what are essentially private dorms that are going to be built downtown that are going to attract thousands and thousands of students. And I think, now I work downtown, my law office is downtown, so I'm down there all the time and I can see all the things going on, and it's really exciting what's going on downtown, and the restaurants, the clubs, the infrastructure, the private investment, it's taken a long time, but a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that we went through that horrible economic downturn at exactly the right time.
What's going to be, is Rio Nuevo going to be an issue between Mr. Grinnell, the write-in Republican candidate, and Mr. Rothschild?
I think it will be an issue because...
and, of course, there is a Green Party candidate, too, that
right.
will be involved.
We're beginning to call Mr. Grinnell, that's with two N's and two L's, we're beginning to call him Rio Nuevo Rick. He is on the current do-nothing Rio Nuevo board, which is mired in quicksand, can't put one foot in front of the other. It's just a mess. They can't do anything and won't do anything. So... I think he either ought to resign from that or we're going to hang it around his neck. I mean, that's basically a mess down there, and he's now one of the responsible parties for it.
And did I read he's having some statement about Rio Nuevo, I think, this week?
I hadn't heard about that yet. I'm really looking forward to hearing about where he actually lives, since he admitted that he hasn't lived for 2 years at the address that he shared with his wife. We're still scratching our heads, so we went by his business address where he said he was living, but that was empty and in somebody else's name, so... I'm not sure where he's living.
Well, there's no question, though, that there was a lot of waste in Rio Nuevo. It may not, certainly not $200 million worth, but there is probably some tens of millions of dollars wasted.
No doubt. No doubt at all that there was quite a sum of money wasted on a lot of studies and a lot of pie-in-the-sky ideas.
And that movie, there was some movie they were going to make that never went anywhere.
Absolutely.
All right, let's see if we are ready with another one. Are we ready with another Buckmaster Show call? Go ahead, you're with Jeff Rogers.
Good afternoon. My name is Diep. I had a question for Mr. Raja, who said that Mr. Raja is going to be the most visible mayor in Tucson history. Well, to predict future activity, you must be observing the past behavior. And to say that Mr. Raja will be the most visible mayor when he's been the most invisible candidate in my memory here in town, I want to ask Mr. Raja how he come to that conclusion.
Well, one way, thank you for calling, by the way, but one way I reached that conclusion is I don't think that, you remember all the trouble some of the Republicans were having getting signatures to get on the ballot? Do you know that Mr. Rothschild walked door to door and got thousands and thousands of his own signatures? He's still walking door to door, even though he really doesn't have a very viable candidate running against him. He's spending a lot of time getting out there and meeting the people, and he will continue to do that. And I've known Jonathan for a long, long time, and he's giving up a very lucrative law practice to take a $42,000 a year job because he really, really loves this city and wants to make it the best it can be.
So the caller's accusation that Mr. Rothschild is an invisible candidate, you would take issue with?
Well, no, I would hardly think so. the part of the problem is he doesn't have anybody to debate. Nobody's on the ballot except the Green Party candidates right now, and that's sort of made it a little difficult, perhaps even for the media to cover it.
It's been a really odd campaign, hasn't it, though, with a Republican in a city the size of Tucson having to rely on a write-in situation.
That's very unusual. I don't think I've ever heard of anything quite like that. But the candidates who tried to get on the ballot before were pretty darn hapless about it.
Jeff Rogers is with us. We could sneak in. Well, maybe we could sneak in one more call. It'd be kind of questionable. Only about a minute to go. The Independent Party continues to grow. I didn't get a chance to mention this with you, Jeff, earlier when we were talking about abolishing party primaries. What's the future for the Independents?
Well, they're going to probably be number one party in Arizona. We call them independents, but it's really people who are registered as having no party affiliation. They're going to be the elephant in the room pretty soon here. And I think that's because this state is one of the few where they don't punish them. You can vote in a Democrat or Republican primary, so there's no penalty for not being registered in either party. The only possible penalty is you cannot vote in the partisan presidential primary. So there's no substantial penalty except that which happens once every 4 years. And so that means that people can just say, well, I'm not going to be part of either one of the parties. I'll pick the one I like on election day.
Okay, Jeff Rogers, chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
Jeff Rogers has been with us. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Thursday edition, tomorrow, noon to 1, live on the Buckmaster Show. We'll talk some senior care issues. This is a decision that is so wrenching for so many of the baby boom generation. What about the aging parents and what about continuing care facilities? We'll be talking about that. Margaret Regan will be with us from the Tucson Weekly talking about the fall arts calendar. As usual, things really start cranking up in the fall here in Tucson when it comes to the arts scene. Also, we talk about Tucson's birthday with our historian Ken Scoville. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you live noon to 1 tomorrow on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.